Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today, we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. I have a presentation for you. It shows it's here, but it doesn't show on the screen. Okay, there we go. Thank you, Prabhu. Okay, so here we are. This is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is the ninth canto, chapter 19. We're going to read texts 21 to 23, and then we'll chant 24 together. So this is an interesting verse that Prabhupada gives us, and we're going to talk about how to really spread your wings, you know, in Krishna consciousness. So we'll dive right into it here. I'm going to read these verses myself. Sukadeva Goswami said, after speaking in this way to his wife, Devayani, King Yayati, who is now free from all material desires, called his youngest son, Puru, and returned Puru's youth in exchange for his own youth. And King Yayati gave the south east to his son Druyu, the south to his son Yadu, the west to his son Trivasu, and the north to his son Anu. In this way he divided the kingdom. Yayati enthroned his youngest son Puru as the emperor of the entire world and the proprietor of all its riches. And he placed all the other sons who were older than Puru under Puru's control. So this is the verse for today. Asevitam Varsapugan. Asevitam Varsapugan. Sadvargam Visayesu sa sarvargam visayesu saha ksanena mumuche nidham ksanena mumuche nidham jatapaksa Iva Dvijaha Jata Paksa Iva Dvijaha Asevitam Varsapugan Sadvargam Visayesu Saha Ksanena Mumuche Nidam Jata paksha eva dvijaha Asevitam swarsapugan Sarvargam visayesu saha Ksanena mumuche nidam Jata paksha eva dvijaha
Thank you.
Sutta. Vishitam Varshapugan Sadvargam Visayesu Saha Sanena Mumuche Nidam Jatapaksha Iva Dvijaha Asavitam Varshapugitam Sadvargam Visayesu Saha Sena mitane nidam. Chabacha pinapita. Vaishnavis. Avesisa marsu pugram. Chasa. Chane namu muche nidam. Jatabhaksha idamita Sevitam Varshapugan Sadvargam Vishate Shantaha Jatapaksha Iva Dvijaha Sevitam Varshapugan Avasevitam. Being always engaged in. Varshapugan. For many, many years. Satvargam, the six senses, including the mind. Visayesu, in sense enjoyment. Saha, King Yayati, Ksanena, within a moment. Mumuche, gave up. Nidam, nest. Jatapaksaha, one that has grown its wings. Eva, like. Dvijaha, a bird. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Having enjoyed sense gratification for many, many years, O King Parikshit, Yayati was accustomed to it, but he gave it up entirely in a moment. Just as a bird flies away from the nest as soon as its wings have grown. Please repeat. Having enjoyed sense gratification for many, many years, O King Parikshit, Yayati was accustomed to it, but he gave it up entirely in a moment. Just as a bird flies away from the nest, as soon as its wings have grown. Purport. That Maharaj Yayati was immediately liberated from the bondage of conditioned life is certainly astonishing. But the example given herewith is appropriate. A tiny baby bird, dependent fully on its father and mother, even to eat, suddenly flies away from the nest when its wings have grown. Similarly, if one fully surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is immediately liberated from the bondage of conditioned life. as promised by the Lord Himself. Aham tvam sarve papebhyo moksha ishami masuchaha. Continuing the purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.18, Kirata hunadi hunadra pulinda pulaksa abira sumba yavana kashadayaha yenye cha papayad apasrayasrayaha suryanti tam tasmai prabhavishnave namaha. Kirata huna andra pulinda pukasa abira sumba yavana and the kasha races and even others addicted to sinful acts can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord. For He is the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. The purport continues. Lord Vishnu is so powerful that He can deliver anyone at once if He is pleased to do so. And Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, can be pleased immediately if we accept His order by surrendering unto Him, as Maharaj Yayati did. Maharaj Yayati was eager to serve Vasudev, Krishna, and therefore, as soon as he wanted to renounce material life, Lord Vasudev helped him. We must, therefore, be very sincere in surrendering ourselves unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Then we can immediately be liberated from all the bondage of conditioned life. This is clearly expressed in the next verse. The next verse is very nice. We'll just touch upon it so that the next person can explain it even further. But because Prabhupada mentioned it here, I'll just mention a few things from that verse. Are you giving class tomorrow, Archita? It's Archita's verse. Okay, that's a nice verse. That's perfect for him. But it's very nice. And I was just listening to a class by Vaisheshika yesterday live. He was giving a wonderful class about the New Year's. And this is a perfect verse for what he was talking about. Hopefully he'll bring you some of that nectar. But it's all about hearing and chanting and how we're bound by these modes of mature nature. So we'll leave that for Vaisheshika. So here we are. We're so helpless, isn't it? It's just like to eat and everything. Look how tender the body is. It's protected by its nest. This is our position. We are actually very helpless. Here, just imagine if you're just by yourself, he falls out of the nest. And what a precarious position. This is everyone's position in the mature world. We're so dependent on others. And as we get a little older, we want more. And sometimes we're forced, we're kicked out of the nest. But this is like King Jayati. He wasn't satisfied with all the vulgar pleasures as he began to realize. He wanted more. He wanted to perfect his life. So in that way, he actually had the desire to do it. And that's what everything starts with, the desire. If you have a desire to actually serve Krishna or to surrender to Krishna, Krishna will help you. There's a nice summary study that Srila Prabhupada did on the Bhagavad Gita. And that one statement stuck with me for so many years, was that one can become Krishna consciousness simply by desiring to do so. So if we have a desire, a sincere, as Prabhupada says, desire to surrender to Krishna, then Krishna will help you in all respects when you're ready, when your wings are completely grown. So how do we grow our wings? So we have to understand what's actually hindering us. They say there's two things that cause more misery and death. And guess what they are? There's a couple hints in here. It's tobacco and obesity. There's actually 1 billion people addicted to these two things. And there's so many people dying from these, just those two things alone. So what's the answer? Willpower? Do you think by your own willpower you can do that? Actually, it's impossible. Because your association is more powerful than your willpower. What is that association? Prabhupada mentions it in the next verse. Is the three modes of material nature. You're associating somehow or another with goodness, passion, and ignorance. And because you're associating with these, you are being bound. So people are trying to figure out ways. Let's develop our willpower. Let's say no. You know, bring in the psychology, the dealing with the mind and our behavior. But actually, the real meaning of psyche and psychology means the soul. So that's where we really get the knowledge, the light. It comes from there. So we have to actually bring that light to our minds, to our hearts, to our activities. And that's where the real pleasure will come. It's actually something of the heart. It's not of things, like trying to grab things, make your nest comfortable with a couch and TV and your cigarettes and your lady and nice music. All these things we think. Look at King Priyavrata had his lady. And he enjoyed with her for thousands of years. And he realized that, actually, I want more. And Krishna helped him to get more. So we have to understand, there's so many things out there. We have Shreyas and Prayas. Prayas are the things that we can immediately grab onto. We're impulsed to grab onto. They're described as weapons of mass destruction. But these are weapons of mass distraction. We're so distracted today. You're driving down the road. You know, you're thinking, oh, it's a nice day. I don't want to crash into anybody. I don't want to crash into a tree or run over anybody. But as soon as there's a beep, 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 immediately someone texts you. And while driving, you pick it up. And what happens? You crash into the person in front of you. Or someone comes out and you miss them. So this is what happened. Over these impulses, they overtake us. So these are the weapons of mass distraction that we have today. And these are the things of the material world. They bind us like chains. We're actually become slaves to them. Instead of controlling things, they're actually controlling us. What someone said, that we're in an age of guided missiles, but misguided persons. We're so misguided. We have these things we create, but we become bound by them. And we're whipped by these modes. See, this is our binding. It's like so embedded in us. It's like it's threaded into us. It's so very difficult. These habits that we develop, they said that it's actually easier to die than to give up bad habits. That they're so ingrained in us, so embedded and weaved into us. But if we can get rid of these modes, these are the three modes of material nature. We're controlled by them. We think by our willpower you can actually control these ropes. It's like the modes of nature are pulling on you and then you're pulling back. You know, and it's like a tug of war. There's no way you're going to win. We just have to take shelter of Krishna, as King Yayati did. And we see, just like the whole story in the Mahabharata about Draupadi, she was having a tug of war. She was hanging on to that rope of the sari. But if we just stop that tug of war and we just drop the rope, she let go of her sari and she just completely surrendered to Krishna. And in that surrender, she was helped in a very supernatural way. So we can do things by our own endeavor in the natural, but that's not enough. We have to actually get supernatural help. And that comes from Krishna. So here we have the glitter of the material world. It's so wonderful. And we're so attracted to it that we want it. This is a very nice artist rendering. They say good artists, they borrow. So what are they doing? They're borrowing things they see and they're trying to replicate it. But they say great artists actually steal. So here they're trying to steal Krishna's beauty by, this is actually a painting. And they try to steal Krishna's wonderful, beautiful nature and try to replicate it in such a way, try to enjoy it. You know, we want it, like I want to take a picture of that so I could enjoy it forever, because they know it's going to be gone in a minute. So now you can see this beautiful scene, but you see those clouds? In a few minutes, it's probably going to be torrents of rain. Or the winter season will come in and everything will freeze over. This is material nature. It's temporary. And it's actually full of miseries. We don't see the lion that's prowling in the forest there that's ready to grab the lion, the deer. Or so many living entities in the water ready to jump up and grab a bird or something like that. Or the bird diving into the water and grabbing a fish. This is material nature. It's like this. So this is actually a hint that I got from Vaisheshika. He was talking about this drip irrigation. He might bring it up tomorrow, but I don't know. But anyway, he talks about the drip factor, this drip irrigation. I'm sure many of you heard of this. You can see it. They have it available everywhere you go. You could go to Home Depot. And you could get a whole system and install it in your around your house, and you could make your house beautiful. Make a beautiful natural setting by setting up this drip system. To give water gradually, just let water gradually nourish the plants, the shrubs, the flowers, all the different things around your home, your garden, your vegetables. And this it's a setup so it automatically happens. See, it may take some endeavor to set it up, but once it's set up, it's automatic. So this is a struggle that's necessary. It's like we may see that, you know, we have these impulses. They come automatic. If you're just absorbed in material things and you get bad habits, then they happen automatically without you even thinking about it. You could be driving at breakneck speed, and you get a text, and immediately the impulse goes to respond to that. This is how bad it is and how precarious it is. So if once you set up this drip irrigation system, then you're set. So Prabhupada always explains to us how this is a nice painting by one of the abstract artists, Van Gogh or Dali, oh, you recognize. We have some artists here. So you see the clocks represents the time, the sunrise and the sunset. You see how these things are there. So we have to really see what we have. We have this time and how we utilize time. It's very important. And what we should always be thinking, Prabhupada says, what is the best use of my time right now? Where are you investing? Actually, that's the greatest investment is time. Investments. We talk about investments. Your time is the greatest asset. If you lose it, you have nothing left. So this is the greatest use of our time. And so don't forget Krishna. Even for a single moment, chant Hare Krishna. There's that song that they have. Chant Hare Krishna. Don't waste time. Chant Hare Krishna. So we do it loudly or slowly, whatever's convenient. But don't forget to chant the holy names. This is from a proper letter that he, in Los Angeles in 1968. So here we have these two things. We have faith and hope. So I was thinking and meditating on these words, and I was seeing how, actually, if you have faith, you want to hold on to something until you attain that success, right? So we have faith to do what? We have faith that if we simply hear, then that will cleanse us. We'll become cleansed from hearing and chanting. Prabhupada refers to that verse, and I think it's either this purport or the next purport, is this Chaito Darpana Marjanam, the cleansing process of chanting the holy names. So this is very important. We have this faith that we're holding on to success. How do you hold on? By reading, by chanting, by absorbing yourself in these books. And that's what Vaisheshika was talking about in his talk yesterday, was about how we have to make a plan. If you don't schedule it, if you don't actually plan properly your time, then it won't get done. So that's the drip system, is you create a system, you create a plan that, okay, I'm going to read the entire Srimad Bhagavatam by such and such a date. So then that means you break it down. So today I have to read this, tomorrow I'll read this, and then by that time, if you don't set a date, then it's open for so many distractions, so many bad habits. And what is this hope? Hope is like, you know, you believe something that you can attain that success. Just like Krishna promised, I hope it's true. I hope Krishna is true. He simply surrendered to me, and then I will deliver you from all sinful actions. So if we have that hope, that means that we're actually, okay, I'll surrender. I'll surrender to Krishna. So this is what we have, that hearing and surrendering. They relate to faith and hope. We have faith to hear, and we have hope that if we simply surrender to Krishna, he's going to come through on his words. And he promises that in the verse that Srila Prabhupada quoted, Sarva Dharma Prichitya Mam Ekam Saranam Vraja. Aham Tvam Sarve Papabhyo Moksha Yisha Mi Ma Suchaha. But if you just surrender to me, I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. And these are the two things that stop us in our progress, is this fear, is doubt. Doubt and fear. We doubt Krishna. We're afraid of everything that we have done, or afraid of something that may happen. So we need these. They say there's only really two struggles in life, or two energies of life, I guess you could say, is struggle and progress. So we're trying to struggle, right? We're trying to progress. Everything is progressing. Everything's growing. You grow your wings. We're struggling to survive. So these things, we should struggle to hear. We should struggle to set up that drip system. And in that way, we will have automatically set up to, our life is molded in such a way that we're simply doing nothing but hearing and chanting about Krishna, somehow or another. Wouldn't that be great? So we have to learn to say no. We have to deny the things that are not, have no value, that are not worth investing in, and just affirm, have this firm faith and hope. And then that's the quickest way to actually, on that road to prayer. And this is what real prayer is. Actually, prayer is actually just realizing God. That's what true prayer is. So we have to hear and chant the holy name. We have to become like a warrior, a knight, a Jedi, modern Jedis today. So we have to chant, but how are we hearing? We have to hear. We have to surrender. So that's what our chanting, our surrender is simply to hear. But the mind's so flickering and unsteady, we have these feelings, aspirations, desires, so many different things, fears. But that's the nature of the mind. That mind is so powerful. It's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. What is it, the 11th canto? Describes that the mind has awesome godlike powers. And it activates these three modes of material nature. Based on what? Based on your desire. So whatever you dwell on, whatever you're affirming, all your affirmations, the things that you want, that actually you're thinking of these things, and it activates the modes of material nature to bind you, to fulfill those desires. This is what's happening, and this is a secret. That's how people, they think, oh, I know how to get success. I know how to do this. I just meditate on it. I think about it. I dwell on it. I'm absorbed in it. This is how they actually attain the things that they want. They're so attached to it, they get a knot there. And there's a mode of nature, there's a string that really binds them to that. So we just have to simply hear and surrender. That's what that really means. There's a nice quote from Bhaktivinoda Thakur from Harinam Chintamani. I'd like to read that to you. It's very short. The holy name has appeared solely for the benefit of the living entities. As their Lord and Master, their supreme worshipable object, and their spiritual guide and mentor. Whoever continuously chants Lord Krishna's holy name, even in his sleep, can easily realize that the name is a direct manifestation of Krishna himself, in spite of the influences of Kali Yuga. So just think of the artist. What a talented person that person is that created that one painting I showed you of nature. What an amazing painting. You could be so attached to the painting. But just think how nicer it would be to know the artist, right? Know the person, what his talents are. You could learn from him. But just see, there's people that say, you know, I feel my best when I just go out in nature, you know, and I feel peace. And I was, someone was telling me that, you know, because they were having a little problem what to do. And I said, yeah, just think how wonderful nature is. But just think of the artist that painted that nature. Krishna, just think how wonderful he is. You can get to know him. You can have a relationship with him. Isn't that amazing? So this is the light of God's grace is actually within us. And this is the reality. And the presence of God is not getting something, but it's actually realizing what you have. You actually have this within you. And it's activated through this hearing and chanting. There's another nice quote here. Please know that by chanting the holy name, all anartas will be removed. When our heart is cleansed from all this anarta dust, the form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord will automatically manifest themselves on the clear mirror of the purified heart. All this will be understood clearly when the coverings are removed from our heart. But it is important that you make special effort to avoid the offenses so that the holy name can come through purely and give you all the perfections. So there's that struggle again. So we have to plan to make a program to hear and chant. And this is the mighty power, that mighty inward power. We see Haridas Thakur is the Namacharya, how he was able to have the power to not be distracted by Maya Devi herself. I mean, who could resist that except someone who has that inward power of Krishna? Because Maya Devi is actually a servant of Krishna. And we see Prahlad Maharaj. He had that power, but he just didn't have it for himself. He wasn't so concerned. I mean, he had that power, but he wasn't so selfish with it. Because when he was pacifying Lord Nrisingadev, this wonderful prayer he says, O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. For wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. So in the purport, it's a very wonderful purport by Srila Prabhupada. He talks about how everybody in the entire world is making big, big plans to adjust the miseries of the material world. And this is true at present. In the past, in the future, that will be true. There's so many political, social, cultural plans. And they've all been described by Prahlad Maharaj as vimudha, fools. So it's full of these people. They don't realize that this material world is dukhalayam asasvatam. It's temporary and it's miserable. But the fools, they try to make this place a happy place. But they don't not know that material nature, it's all arranged to give you misery. There's that nice verse Prabhupada quotes, Prakriti Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvasaha. The bewildered spirit soul under the influence of the three modes of material nature thinks himself to be the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. So this is the plan of nature. It's Durga. She's a lion. And she's equipped with these 10 hands with 10 weapons. And she's meant to punish. So everyone's struggling with trying to get out of these modes of material nature. But at the end, they're just simply vanquished by her laws. So Prahlada Maharaj, he had this love for Krishna. And what is the proof of that love of God? You can see it's here, his sharing it. He has wisdom. He has humility. He's sensitive. He's compassionate. It also means to protect the innocent, to give them knowledge, save them from suicide. These are the qualities of one who has love of God. This is the proof. He respects others. He sees others' happiness and unhappiness as his own. So this is the revolution of consciousness that's needed so that we can actually go beyond these material modes of material nature. So Prabhupada quotes that verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, 1866. And the verse right before that, Krishna says, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you're my very dear friend. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport that life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, where he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. So Prabhupada mentions in some of these other purports to these particular verses that one should fix his mind on the original form of Godhead, Krishna. And he says we shouldn't even divert our attention to other forms like Narayan, Rama, Vraha, but just simply concentrate on that form of Krishna that was before Arjuna. There's also from these Bhagavad Gita verses and purports, you will come to me, achieve me, so therefore offer your mind to me, or else offer your ears and other senses, or else offer incense, flowers, and so on. I tell you truly that I will give you even my own self in exchange. You have no reason to doubt this. This is actually from Surrender Unto Me by Bhurijan Prabhu. He does some nice summary study of the Bhagavad Gita. So he mentioned this. He's quoting from some of the acharyas. This is another quote. Then I say this, I make a solemn vow. You are dear to me, and no one cheats someone who is dear to him. Just to remove Arjuna's doubts of saying, you know, you're always making promises. You know, people in Mathura are always making promises. And he goes, no, actually, that someone who's dear to you, you never cheat them. And then there's some very nice ones. We'll just end with these. Now, however, by my special mercy, I've given you the qualification for unalloyed bhakti. I have violated my own rule that unalloyed devotion may be obtained only when, somehow or other, one receives the mercy of my pure devotees, just as I will violate my own promise while fighting with Bhishma. So just see how Krishna can immediately give it to you. Violate his own promise that even to the point where, you know, you have to receive it through the mercy of a pure devotee. And then so once you get this mercy, what is the proof that you have the mercy? And it goes on to describe in the Bhagavad Gita in the next verses. For one who explained the supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. And I declare that he who studies the sacred conversation of ours worships me by his intelligence. So he's encouraging us to study, to read. And one who listens with faith, there's the faith, and without envy, becomes free from sinful reactions and attains to the auspicious planets where the pious dwell. So we just see, simply by hearing Bhagavad Gita, even a person who doesn't try to become a pure devotee, he attains the results of all righteous activities. So therefore, the pure devotees like Prahlada Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, they go out and they give people a chance to become free from all their sinful activities, from all their bad habits, from all these distractions. And Krishna promises that he will give you himself. He'll come back to me. And there's no servant in this world more dear to me than he. nor will there ever be one more dear. So thank you very much. Any comments or questions, realizations? Yes, Bhanu Bhatta Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu, for a wonderful visually enlivening class and audio as well. My question is that I'm wondering if you could have any insight into the cause of the sudden awakening of King Yayati's spiritual consciousness. Because as we've been hearing, for so many years he engaged in these sexual activities. And it doesn't really explain in the verse like how he actually got that mercy of Krishna, how it somehow awakened. I mean, we know that, you know, due to the association of saintly persons or some kind of horrific, you know, experience happening that somehow or other that awakens.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, it just seems like all of a sudden from his, you know, engaging in so many material activities, somehow or other it just came up. I'm wondering if you have any insight.
That's a very important question. Thank you. Prabhupada mentioned it actually, mentions it in his purports, that King Yayati, he was actually performing the sense gratification according to regulated principles, and he was pious. It's not that he was just a debauchee, but whatever. But anyway, it's described that he had the desire to serve Krishna. And I mentioned that a little bit in my class, how everything starts from our desire. So if you have a desire to want to surrender to Krishna, and he had that desire, and then when it came ripe, when it came about time, when he was ready to give it up, then Krishna helped him, and he did it. So that's just from the desire. It's very powerful, our desires. So thank you. I think Rabindranath had his hand up.
Yeah, you mentioned about just focusing on the form of Krishna. So, then why do we, like, for example, chant the prayers of Lord Nrisimhadev?
Okay, so you're wondering why we chant the prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev if we should just focus
on Krishna? Yeah, because you mentioned once you just simply focus on the form of Krishna.
Well, this is what Prabhupada said in the Bhagavad Gita to that verse, that we should just simply be attracted to this form of Krishna.
Yeah, I'm just trying to.
Yeah, so then I mentioned that. So, and then Prabhupada mentions that Krishna has many aspects. He's like a wonderful gem that just expands himself in so many different forms and activities for the protection of his devotees, to attract his devotees, and because of his devotees' desires. Just based on our desire, also Krishna will manifest different forms. Just to please you. There's a particular form of Krishna that's completely, you know, that's going to be a very intimate relationship with you that you will have with Krishna. So Krishna is unlimited. But we know that the source of all incarnations and all these is Krishna. And we can't say, okay, which is better? Because it's like the candle. There's an original candle which lights many different candles. They all have the same power. The same power of light and heat. So this is a great mystery, and it's a good question. And that's how I would answer it. Maybe someone else has some other realizations about that question. Why should we worship and pray to Lord Nrisimhadev? Yes, Amala Bhakta Maharaj.
Thank you very much for your class, Gaurachandra Prabhu. If I missed you saying it, my apologies, but the idea in worshipping Lord Nrisimhadev, as we often do, for protection of our body, protection of mind, protection of our intelligence, protection of our overall spiritual life, but protection for ultimately what? That's the point that Prabhupada is making. For ultimately what, so that we can ultimately come to that one point, as you made, that... Mm-hmm. Everything emanates from Radha Krishna, That is the source. And as Prabhupada says, we should focus and concentrate exclusively in that purport that you read, which is the one that always think of me, become my devotee,
right.
The purport there.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Yeah. So the whole point he's making is that all these other manifestations of Krishna are all on the way for purification, and he also mentioned protection. If you're protected and you become purified, your mind slowly but surely becomes more and more attracted to Krishna, mm-hmm. until ultimately we reach that stage. So therefore we should not think, well, I should just forget about Lord Narasinghe Dev. That's not what was meant there. Is that we have to take the first 9 cantos of the Bhagavatam. Sometimes people like to just jump to the 10th because, you know, that's where the romance is and people are attracted to that. But no, the purificational process goes on through the worship, the reverence, the adoration, the glorification of all the different manifestations of Krishna. And Prabhupada made a very emphatic point of this. Don't think that listening to the battle of Kurukshetra is something unspiritual. He says it's highly spiritual. And what happens, it engages our intelligence and engages our emotions in such a way that we become so absorbed in the activities there, with a special emphasis on Krishna and Arjuna, that that purification ultimately leads to the point, well, yeah, Krishna, Radha, Arjuna, the... In other words, you become so absorbed in them that that becomes your ultimate meditation. And that's what Prabhupada is meaning in that purport that you...
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. Yes, Savas Prabhu.
Another perspective would be that, you know, it's a very important prayer for the preachers of the society to chant the prayers of Lord Narasinghadev, because at every step there's danger.
Right.
Badum, badum, bibadum. So every step, and when you go out and put yourself in that kind of a situation, you should pray for the protection of Lord Narasinghadev. That's what Prahlad Maharaj is doing. That was the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
He protected Lord, at least Prahlad Maharaj, Lord Narasinghadev protected him so that he could continue with his devotional service. And he's preaching, because that's what Prahlad Maharaj was doing. He was preaching. And his father tried to kill him. He was a demon, tried to kill him. So as devotees, we should see that there's many people out there who are atheistic and demoniac in nature. And when we put ourselves in those kind of circumstances, we should be continually praying to Lord Narasinghadev to protect us so we can continue on with that activity.
Yes, that's very important. Thank you, Prabhu. Anything else? Okay, well, thank you very much for your kind attention. All glories to the Srimad Bhagavatam.